Here we are.
Here we are, just literally talking about how tired we are right before we get on.
Oh, man.
Honestly, it's...
Don't
mean to start off on a note.
Hello, we're tired.
Literally. Welcome. We're so tired.
Let us remind you how exhausted you are.
Honestly. You trying to escape your day? You tired? Welcome to the Tired Club. Actually, it's so funny. What was I talking to? I was like, I walked in from my workout today, or I walked in from walking outside today, and I walked inside and I was thinking, I'm like, I'm so tired. But I was thinking to myself, am I? Or is that just like a track that I play?
Yeah.
Where I just kind of am used to saying that I'm tired. And another thing to that, I was talking to Anna, our amazing moderator, one of our amazing moderators, of the most amazing moderators in the world for our Facebook group. And I was asking how she was. And she's like, you know, I'm good. I'm really good. And she goes, no, I'm like really good. And it's funny how, and then started to explain how she is really happy and she's doing really well and she's really succeeding, and how we stutter over the words when we have to say that we're doing well. And I especially do that. Like, I always think of what's bad so I don't have to be like, I'm amazing.
Completely.
You, like, if someone came up to you and you were like, how are you? And you were like, I'm amazing. It would almost be like you're waiting for them to explain something after as well. Or to be kidding.
And also, like, if you're not amazing, it's depending on how you've integrated that, it's probably hard to be around people who are amazing.
For sure.
So the person who's feeling amazing might feel like they need to offer a caveat of like, but like, mm-hmm. I'm just so overwhelmed, but like things are really good, but like I'm really overwhelmed, just to make the other person feel like they're on their level.
For sure.
But I don't know if that serves people.
Yeah. Truth serves people.
That's
but
true.
I just noticed her stutter when she said that. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Because I think I do that as well. If someone's like, how are you? And I'm doing well. I'm like, yeah, I'm... No. Whatever. Trying to think of like what I... It's also, I sometimes don't even know what I am.
I know. Same.
That's most me of mine.
Lately. I'm blank lately.
Like, how are you? I'm like... I literally look around. I'm like, me? What do you mean? What are you talking about? Who are you talking to?
I'm good. I've been quite blank, and I've been convincing myself, maybe it's, I think it's true, that it's like purposeful that I feel kind of blank. Mm. So it's like not necessarily super creative, and I don't necessarily have a ton to say right now.
Mm-hmm. Feel that.
I host a podcast, so this is a problem. I don't know. Like, instead of being frustrated with it, I'm just...
Letting it rip.
Letting it be.
Yeah, being frustrated is not the vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
anyway.
We'll see you guys next week. This is a podcast about allowing you guys, giving your permission to not have something to say always. Just let yourself not have something to say. But that's actually a great point. And I don't want to talk about health stuff. Mm-hmm. But you don't always have to say something. Hey, world.
100%.
Hey, social media. You don't always have to say something, whether you like it or not. You can be with whatever you think and keep it in.
I've learned in observing and being a part of what this social media thing is that like saying something for the sake of saying something and then being heard by whoever you want to hear what you're saying, mm-hmm. wow, actually doesn't give you the validation and satisfaction that you think it will.
Mm-hmm. I have to get to 100K and then I'll know. Once I'm at 100K followers, then I'll know.
Because it's very surface level. Like, and so if you can see something online, observe it, notice how it makes you feel, and then from there, maybe go farther in, maybe do some research, maybe have a conversation in person with someone mm-hmm. about it. That's like a bit more grounded, but like there's something that happens when you start typing on your phone or on your computer that like just, I don't know, gets a little fuzzy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway.
What's that movie where the hands are like possessed? Idle hands.
I've never watched it.
Yeah.
I'm not a...
I don't watch scary movies.
Yeah, I don't do that.
Not 0%. No. But it was nice today when we were talking about, you know, you being in New York and just walking. I mean, last time I was living in New York, I was doing 400 workouts a day.
Yeah.
Just blasting myself. And I actually did a workout at a place that we've worked out frequently and they have outside now. And it's all social distanced from each other. And the trainer was drinking Bang Energy. And I was like, yo, how is your adrenals?
I mean.
And he's like, I have to keep switching because I have to keep finding a more intense pre-workout. And I'm like, okay. And then we're like at the workout and he's like, you know, he noticed people weren't really tired. Mm. And he's like, you know, I've had to make these a lot easier. Over the years, they were too hard. I've had to make these way, way, way easier.
Dude, I kind of miss like trainers that just have a strong personality and ego.
Yes.
I kind of miss.
And then he was like, did you guys see the bobcat that ate the guy on TikTok? And I was like, no, wasn't on my feed. And he's like, well, I wrote a post about it recently because I have advice for like what that guy should have done when the bobcat came. What you should do is not go big and then run. You should go big and freak him out instead of going big and running. Like he was like commenting, he made a whole Instagram post about his reaction to a man getting like eaten by a bobcat.
I love this guy.
Love. You know him.
Awesome. we're trying to
you know him. Each other in. Who else? The man, the myth.
Oh, why'd you go there?
Yeah, I know. Because I am in desperate need. I've been desperate. This body.
I would love to go with you next time and just fucking.
Yes. Yes. And then today I was working out and one of the trainers was asking me, he's like, oh, where are you from? I was like, from Ohio. And he's like, oh yeah, Skyline Chili. I'm like, yep, Skyline Chili. I'm like, the last meat I ate in like 10 years. I don't even know. And he's like, oh yeah, it's so gross, blah, blah, blah. Which, you know, at the time I loved it. I'm gonna be honest. I loved it. And there was a girl in the class. She's like, you don't eat meat? I'm like, no, I haven't eaten in a while. She's like, don't you just look at a burger and you want a burger? And literally started to say every stereotypical thing you say to people that don't eat meat. And I'm like, we're in LA.
And also, no, I don't want a burger.
No, I don't want a burger. I want a burger, I want a burger. And she was like, I just could never do that. And I'm like, I just could never imagine on the other side me being like, oh my God, you eat burgers, you know, or like questioning a stranger on their eating. It was just so weird. I'm
especially
like,
because it's a stranger.
Yeah. She's like, where do you get I would just protein? Like, do you just get it from dairy, milk, eggs, and cheese? I'm like, are you like USDA certified? What are you talking about? I literally go, no, don't ask me. Like, what are you talking about?
I'm going to do my plant protein dance for you.
First, there's 100%.
A pea,
yes.
And a chickpea.
Yes.
Yeah, man. I mean, strangers, when they have a lot to say, is a whole other thing. I want to do something that freaks them out, like in that situation.
Yeah,
could you?
Like, I eat like eat something weird,
or just stare at her.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to think of something. I was just like, whatever. Dude. I just said, I was like, you know, I eat what I eat. You eat what you eat, and the world goes round. I said that the last thing I said. I was like, I eat what I eat. That's you eat beautiful. What you eat. The world goes round. Don't talk to me.
That's beautiful. You should do an Instagram post about that interaction.
I eat what you eat. I've never been, I've been about my vegan life, but I've never been about it in the way where I would ever tell. I'm like, you want to know the facts? I've got the facts, but I don't care. What do you do? Whatever everyone's going to do what they want to do.
Yes.
And also, it's not like I'm doing carnivore diet. Like, that's newer. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the new diets, people are like, whoa, what are you doing? But like, this isn't new.
Not new.
Whatever.
Not new.
Whatever with a twist. The other night, Lindsay goes, whatever, man. And like after this text, it was like sending her this text to review. She's like, whatever, man. I just sent the W. I was like, whatever.
Oh, man.
You just ate a bagel for a snack. That's letting loose.
Yep. That's letting loose. Yeah. We wanted to briefly talk about just like what's been up with our health choices and just, you know, overall, I feel like we've relaxed.
Very much.
I just ate a bagel. It was a sprouted bagel, but it was a bagel. Yeah, I'm very much not worrying and it feels great. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's probably I don't know if it's a luxury. I don't know, but
I think it's a mental luxury.
Yeah, I just used to be really, I mean, so many of us writing down calories, writing down what I eat every day, worrying about, did I work out enough to burn this off? Worrying about just so much mental space that I have back now. And mm-hmm. it's really, really nice.
I was looking back at my journal from 4 years ago because I was trying to look for stuff about almost 30. And I found the first interview we did with Lacey. It was like 4 years ago, but it had these crazy notes. And then I found some goals that I made. And every single time I made a goal, it started with what my goal weight was. Mm. So it'd be like goal weight. Then it'd be like speak at an event or whatever the other goal was. But every single time it would start with the weight number. Every time I was oh my God.
Wow.
I forgot about that. And it was like weight number. And it was like, be down by this. And it was just such a time. I was mm-hmm. like, oh wow, that was such a time where I was doing that. But yeah, I'm glad that I don't write down any goals.
I was at the doctor the other day and they asked how much I weighed. I was like, I don't know. I was like, you don't have a scale, do you?
Did they?
No, we didn't. I was like, I don't really care. I can give you an estimate.
Yeah.
Do you need to
I'm
know?
Like, I'm between 100 and 300. I don't know.
Yeah, just overall more relaxed. And what I've noticed is like that being more relaxed actually allows my body to digest better. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Recover more easily. There's just like so many connections to not being so like, oh, like just really squeezing and attached to every little number, every little goal, every little thing, every little should do. Just feels so much better.
It takes time.
It does take
time. Mine was 4 years ago. It takes time. And it's just some days you're like, oh, I kind of want to get back to that. I kind of want to be tight. I kind of want to be mm-hmm. whatever. But it does feel good to be way more relaxed about it. And I think being home helps.
Yeah.
I think not traveling helps,
yeah.
you know, which is really beautiful. But I'm excited for this conversation with Ara because, you know, this year, especially when we're talking about important topics, immunity health is one of those and just health in general. So really understanding our body better, understanding our microbiome better, understanding what we can do to improve our immunity, improve our gut health, improve our brain function through the health of the microbiome is so powerful. And that's why we wanted to do this episode, especially now during this time, so that we could think about the microbiome's effect on immunity to overall, you know, help stay protected against COVID or anything that's going on in the world.
Yeah, she's incredibly knowledgeable. So this was like jam-packed. It was like very much information that you'll need during this time. Just to give you a little bit of a background. So Ara is a co-founder of Seed, which is a symbiotic. Basically, we offer a symbiotic, which is a prebiotic and probiotic in one. They are just heavily backed by science. And they are really just redefining how the efficacy of creating supplements and how they educate their consumers, which is so important. She also advises a lot of startups across the health tech and consumer verticals. She is a dynamic woman. She was named 50 Most Influential Women in America by Marie Claire and listed on Business Insider's Silicon Alley Top 100. She's a rock star. So really, really grateful for this conversation. You can learn more about Seed at seed.com.
Yeah, I love this one. So in this, we talk about immunity. We talk about microbiome. We talk about preventative measures to keep safe against COVID. We also love that Seed has packaging that is helpful for, or it's good for the environment. So it's made from plants. They used to have something in the packaging that was made from mushrooms, actually. And they're just super thoughtful about all places in which their company touches and the environmental impact that they have. Mm-hmm. So we just love the way that they operate as a brand. We really look up to them for the way that they are thoughtful about their team, the way they reach people through, you know, their Seed influencer program, the way that they impact the environment, and then the way that they're thoughtful about their actual product. So this is really, really, really good.
Yeah. Love it. Thank you all for listening. As always, subscribe on Apple Podcasts so you get the episodes on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And we have our New Paradigm Digital Workshop Series Yay. Happening, which we're so proud of. It's one of those things that you know, during the time of COVID, we're like, how can we still connect with people and how can we provide them with conversations and just deep dives into topics and things that, you know, will help you to better know yourself and just kind of navigate this time and beyond. So New Paradigm Digital Workshop Series happening this month and next. You can find out more at almost30.com.
Yeah, sound healing, light language. We also have breath work. It's going to be a really good month. We also have poetic.
Yeah, so poetic healing with Ngozi, and this is going to be a really unique experience. And I've found so much healing in writing. And so she's is a life coach, is going to set a really beautiful, safe container so that we can express ourselves and be incredibly vulnerable and authentic and just find healing in our words.
Yep, it's going to be awesome. So almost30.com, you can check out the New Paradigm Digital Series. Our shop is there, our apparel's there, all downloadables, courses, workshops. We also help podcasters launch, grow, and monetize with Your Podcast Pro. We've got everything in there for you. And then we're on all socials, Almost 30 Podcast on Instagram and YouTube. We got video on YouTube. So if you want to see your girls, come hang and enjoy this episode. If it resonates, if you feel like it's helpful, would love if you shared with a friend. That's how we've grown. And that's how we've been able to spread some Almost 30 love. We love you guys.
Love
we'll you. See you on the other side. We have a few things. Enjoy this episode.
Bye.
I'm really excited to talk. I'm so looking forward to just making and going through everything like with understanding like the relevancy of the microbiome of, you know, gut health, of so much of what you do is like new paradigm business. And we're rolling. So there's that part of it. So I would love to talk about the microbiome and immunity and health. And then also want to talk about, you know, you being like a new paradigm business leader, because I think it's so important. And I think what you guys do is so special and thoughtful. But right now, you know, where we are today, immunity is such a big thing. It's something that's on everyone's minds. And I actually don't understand too much the correlation between the microbiome and your immunity or not staying sick. Jesus Christ. could you talk?
It helps you stay really sick. It's main job.
Yes, literally. Mm-hmm. Could you tell us a bit about the connection between the microbiome and immunity?
Absolutely, sure. So, I mean, there's different percentages that get thrown around, but you know, essentially, 75% to 80%, you know, of your immune system lives in your gut, which is, I think, actually why people, when they say gut health, they mean like so much more than just like the localized digestive health, although of course it's incredibly, you know, important and plays a big role in like digestion. But you know, your immune system, if you think about your immune system, which is really set up to help your body determine whether something is kind of friend or foe, and of course you guys know from like autoimmune diseases or allergies, like it can also really misfire, right? Like it can be mistrained. And then also really not understand and think something that is friendly is foe and then mount an immune response. And so if you think about like the best way to think about, and I'll kind of throw out some cool ways of visualizing it, but every external surface or every surface of your body that kind of touches the external world in some way is part of your immune system. There are microbes that exist on every single surface of your body that help your body determine, your skin included, your eye. Actually, they know there's an optical microbiome now, your nose. We're actually, by the time this comes out, we have a COVID nasal microbiome trial starting at Cornell to understand like the ecosystem of the nose, of the microbial ecosystem of the nose, and like its impact on how severely someone gets COVID, for example. So like all of these surfaces are part of your immune system and part of like helping your body determine information comes into your skin. For example, if you have some sort of allergic response or to into your nose, you know, obviously allergies, like where it causes this irritation, it causes the response. But the cool thing is that, okay, so you're saying, okay, like I get that for external surfaces, like I get the skin's an external surface, but the gut, your GI system is an external surface. And I'll explain to you why. So your mouth, there's two holes, your mouth and your anus. And there's one tube that control literally connects them end to end. If you think about it, they both touch the external world, which means that that is actually like an external surface because there's nothing that closes it off on either side. So it's considered actually like you're, you know, and so it's interesting when you start, and the cool thing is that, that wall that separates your GI system, your whole gut, that tube is actually about one cell thick. So think about like half a human hair. And that tube has, if I'm sure you've heard of like leaky gut, for example, but that the integrity of that wall is basically the difference between something staying in your digestive tract and your GI system and being in the and leaking out into your body, right? Which is then when your body starts to think, oh, there's something coming in that's not supposed to be here. I will mount an immune response. And so it's just important to think about because it's a cool way of understanding like why it's such a meaningful part of your immune system. And then your lower GI, which is really where your gut is, that's where the majority of your microbiome is and your microbes are. And they're a really big part of how your body determines how to respond to information. Food is information, environmental factors, of course, things you put on your body's information, what you are exposed to that you can't see is information. COVID is information, right? Like you think about everything external as information, and then your body is like responding to that information. And the other important way to think about it is that your gut, you know, again, where like the most microbes exist in your body, you know, there's more, I think there's more microbes below your belly, below your belly button than there are stars in like the Milky Way galaxy, as a really crazy way to think about it, right? 3 to 5 pounds of your body are microbes. They're not human parts that are meant to do things to keep us healthy. And a lot of that is, of course, part of your immune system. And so another really cool way of thinking about it and the health of why gut health and like immunity are so connected is if you think about like a rainforest and you think about, if you look at a rainforest that's healthy, it's lush. It has like all different kinds of species and different, it feels very like diverse and all kinds of different plants and animals kind of like residing together and living in this kind of very diverse ecosystem. And you can think that if something bad happened to that ecosystem that was incredibly diverse, it would probably come back faster and be more resilient and come back to that place of stasis than like a rainforest that had lost, unfortunately, like is what's happening today, a lot of its species and was very sparse, both in terms of the amount of plants, but also in terms of the number of species of different animals and wildlife and plants, for example, and soil and the soil. And so it's important to think about because the immune system, like the health, the more diverse and rich and abundant your gut is, the more resilient it will be in terms of quote unquote, keeping you healthy. So like, it's not that bad things won't happen. It's that the more you're starting with that lush rainforest, the more it can return back to that in the face of food poisoning or taking a course of antibiotics or going through a period where you don't eat as well as you're used to or drinking a lot for a period of time, you know? So I think that that's it was a long way to explain it, but hopefully that's helpful.
Yeah. No, that's a really helpful analogy. The second part to that question I'm thinking about is like the sterilization of things right now. So it's making sure everything is clean and sterile. And I understand, right? Like on a very base level of like, okay, so we want to make sure that surfaces and things don't have necessarily the bacteria of COVID. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to say it, but I'm wondering how that, does that affect our microbiome and or the microbes on our skin? Should we be paying attention to that?
You know, it's like in anything in health is like a trade-off, right? Of determining like acute threat versus like chronic long-term issues. I think the way to think about it is that, and one of our advisors, Dr. Martin Blaser, he wrote a book called Missing Microbes. So if you're asking me that over time, has the long-term exposure to a very sterilized and like maybe more urban, less microbial diverse like environment, has that impacted our health? The belief is that the correlation with like the rise of autoimmune disease and type 2 diabetes and asthma and allergies absolutely over time has caused what a lot of scientists refer to as the climate change of our insides, which is this idea that, I don't know if you saw the news this week, I think that they've now said that we've lost about 50% of the wildlife in the world. And so the same thing has happened in our guts. And there's a lot of correlation with the rise of those conditions and those issues. Now, yes, that's true. And I think under normal circumstances where you can avoid the overuse of antibiotics, for example, you know, Cloroxing your life, absolutely. There's, of course, harm from those chemicals, but also like our regular exposure to microbes is part of what trains our immune system. And then, of course, like in nature is part of what, you know, potentially can also help increase the diversity of our own microbes, the eating of more plants, for example. However, when you have to, that's what I was saying, you kind of have to weigh this like acute threat, which is not right now, like use hand sanitizer. Like it's there. I mean, the palms of your hands are actually one of the least diverse parts of your skin microbiome. And I think what we know about the contact with mouth and nose and the places where like actually you can contract SARS-CoV-2, like to me, like it's a no-brainer right now to be extra cautious. For the sake of I don't think that they're even like starting to talk about, of course, kids not being out, this long-term quarantining and kids' immune systems and the fact that they're not getting trained the way they're used to. But truthfully, most of the scientists that we speak to just say like in the click of time that this is happening in, that this is like a second while it feels like forever and there's nothing left to watch on Netflix, like it's still a relatively short amount of time for what is probably a trade-off that could cost you your life.
Yeah, it's been interesting to see sort of like the reaction and response of what everyone's doing.
Whether I'm going on a staycation or traveling a bit farther on a plane, or even if we're traveling across town and bringing some of our podcast equipment for an on-location interview, I'm using my Away bag. Away creates incredibly thoughtful products designed to change how you see the world, how you travel the world, and they basically create the perfect suitcase. Like, I can tell you, I've been an Away fan and user, customer for a long time, probably about 3 years, and they are durable. They can withstand like the toughest bag handlers. Can we talk about the bag handlers at airports? But I never worry about what's in my bag. It's always protected. Every suitcase comes with an interior organization system that includes a built-in compression pad to help you pack more in. I put my underwear in there most of the time. And a hidden and removable laundry bag, which is awesome. Away products are designed to last a lifetime. Truly. And if any part of your suitcase breaks, Away's standout customer service team will arrange to have it fixed or replaced. There's a 100-day trial on everything Away makes. So take the product out on the road, live with it, travel with it, even get lost with it for 100 days. And if you decide it's not for you, you can return any non-personalized item for a full refund during that period. So no ifs, ands, or asterisks. This is for real. I love this brand. I personally have collected a whole fleet of Away suitcases over the years. I have the large, I have the medium, and I have the bigger carry-on. The bigger carry-on is great for weekends away. I can just bring it, put it in the overhead bin if I'm on a plane or easily in my car. The medium is for longer trips. I love it. And they all come in incredible colors, so you'll have your pick. They also have an aluminum edition that's super, super cool. And then check out their normal bags. They have the everywhere bag, the daily day or the day pack, the duffel, among other bags. So check it out. It's always fashionable, always durable, well-made. You can go to awaytravel.com/almost30. That's awaytravel.com/almost30. Start your 100-day trial and shop the entire Away lineup of travel essentials, including their best selling suitcases. So that's awaytravel.com/almost30. If there's something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, I would love to recommend BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating with them in under 48 hours. This is not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. I've been talking to so many friends who have started therapy for the first time recently, and a bunch of them have tried BetterHelp and just found it to be so convenient, so good, so supportive, and just fits right into their lifestyle, especially with staying at home a lot more. What's great is that this is available all over the world, and they have a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in your area. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room. And it's also more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. So I would love for you to try it out. You can go to betterhelp.com/almost30. That's BETTERHELP.com/almost30. And you'll get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/almost30.
For someone to have a healthy microbiome, you know, in general in their life, so they want that rainforest that's really healthy, really diverse, really lush with bacteria, right? But what would they do to, like, what would someone do in their normal life to really have that? And then what are some things that would prevent them from having a healthy microbiome?
It's a great question. There's a number of things that both some that are kind of obvious and that people know, but I can explain a little bit about why, and others that maybe you wouldn't necessarily think about. So the most critical thing from, I mean, I think this for health too in general, but is nutrition and diet. I mean, it's plants and fiber specifically, as well as some compounds like things like polyphenols that are found in like dark berries, for example. Those are all compounds and substances like fiber that are actually kind of food and or compounds that your microbes use to make other things that are good for you, or actually use for food themselves to proliferate the beneficial bacteria. And so fiber and plants, I'd say like truthfully, like the plant-based diet is probably one of the most impactful. I know it's a very like obvious one, but it really is like there's a reason that your human digestive system didn't evolve to digest fiber. And it's because we co-evolved with these partners that live in our gut, and they need fiber to be able to thrive. And it's kind of like help them help you. So fiber and plants, I would say, are probably number one, and a very high number one. Number two, you know, are things like avoidance. And again, it's kind of obvious to say, like, don't take antibiotics unless you use them. And there's a lot, I think, for your audience especially, that's probably another like, yeah, duh, I knew that. But actually, you know, it's not just antibiotics, but other medicines and other compounds like NSAIDs, which is are non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. Those are things like Advil, and you know, of course, like ibuprofen. Even like, you know, specific other compounds that are and ingredients from other medicines that we take very like flippantly sometimes. Whether it's a NyQuil because you want to go to sleep, or what, you know, just the notion that, and I think it's a good thing to think about, a way to think about it, is that until very recently, we really didn't understand this ecosystem and what it does in our body. So everything kind of tested, and I'm not like fear mongering. If you need medicine, you should take it. But to say that all the things you intake, again, information in the form of an ibuprofen, in the form of acetaminophen, in the form of any, has an impact on your microbiome. And so it's more just making sure you're being mindful, like food being one example of it, as we talked about, but also things like NSAIDs or things like an ibuprofen. I think a lot of people just kind of take them very like promiscuously and they do impact your microbiome. So just being mindful of when you need some of those things. By the way, oregano oil is an incredibly strong antimicrobial. So it's not like a Western Eastern thing or a natural, quote unquote, natural, not natural. It really is that there are very strong antimicrobials in a lot of things people don't often realize. And they're not discriminating the same way that antibiotics aren't discriminating. So oregano oil, while it's very quote unquote natural, is incredibly strong. And so it's not like it goes in and it's only like, oh, I'm just going to hurt the bad stuff. You know, like it really is a true antimicrobial and a strong one. And something that people, I think, feel like they don't, there's no way to like overdo it, if that makes sense. And so, and then there's things like avoiding, like there's certain like sweeteners or like artificial sweeteners. Probably a lot of your audience isn't like eating things with aspartame, but like, you know, there are some of these like sugar replacements that have actually been demonstrated to have a negative impact on the microbiome. And then there's things like, you know, things to do that like have a dog. They've shown that having a dog can increase microbial diversity. Spending time in nature for many other reasons, but from a microbial perspective, I think there's absolutely certainly a benefit to that. And I think those are some of the big ones. And also one other notion to you is that like the urban environment, while people think the New York City subway is gross and has all these like pathogens and bad bacteria, actually the urban environment's quite sterile. Getting, you know, some people choose to live out of the city, but if you are going to be in the city, then just being really mindful of some of the things we just kind of talked about, and getting out of the city and being in other microbial environments is great too.
In nature.
You mentioned, sugar, and I'm just curious in general, like the role of sugar, whether it's
yes.
natural sugar or not, and how an excess of sugar affects your microbiome.
Yeah, I mean, there's I like to say, look, all you need to live is glucose and water. So my co-founder says that kind of all the time, which is, you know, like if you're on a desert island, a Coke will save your life. So, you know, just to say that your body does need glucose, or your cells need glucose. You know, the interesting thing about sugar, I mean, there's, you know, the reason I think, you know, and you can look to kind of nature and certainly the natural environment for like how some of the more sugar dense foods also evolved in fibrous foods, right? So there's an interplay of not just sugar by itself, but of course what it's consumed with. I mean, the alternative sugars, like if you're saying like, oh, it's coconut sugar or it's like they're sugar, like they are sugar. And as far as I have not looked into this closely, but as I've never seen anybody do a study that demonstrates that the quote unquote, like natural doesn't necessarily mean anything, but the ones that are marketed as like a natural sugar versus a sugar have much impact. Of course, there's a difference in refinement and how they're refined and processed. So I imagine that there's some impact there also just in terms of people who want to buy things that potentially have less of a environmental impact, and the sugar industry is quite bad for the environment and has a.
How so? I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, I mean the sugar cane. I mean, you can go the history of sugar, which actually has been somewhat captured in the 1619 Project by the New York Times, and you can go to the beginning of sugar and understand like it's racist and aristocratic and economically disparate roots to understand that sugar has both a pretty gross history to it. The sugar trade, and then even today, I mean, sugar cane, the runoff from these plants into like natural water systems. I mean, the way that sugar has proliferated in outside of the disgusting way, of course, it has impacted our diet, and then subsequently the rise of these like diseases like type 2 diabetes and obesity. But when you look at the environmental impact of the sugar industry, it's just as horrific, not to mention the labor practices and the way that the industry even today in a lot of parts of the world continues to play out and conduct itself. Between environmental, humanitarian, and physiologically, this sugar and this sugar itself is pretty gross.
Wow,
that's yeah. By the way, vanilla, quote unquote natural vanilla is not dissimilar. There's a tremendous amount of misunderstanding around things like vanilla, also, and really? Vanilla extract, and what actually is even possible to get in nature versus like what's synthesized. And so there's a lot of things I think we take from, quote, we kind of talk about in like the being more natural, and it's wonderful marketing.
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely in the food industry and the industry that you're in, all the marketing is incredibly misleading, and the regulations around it are like so poor. And along that vein, you know, for probiotics and prebiotics, what can a consumer, or what should a consumer look for? What is the differences between them? And how do they know, since the supplement industry isn't as regulated as it potentially should be, that what they're getting is effective or helping them?
I mean, you know, there's a number of ways to answer the question. And the real truth is that the burden, like many other things, does a bit come down to the consumer, which I wish it didn't. And I think we try and everywhere we can take that burden off. But, you know, I think no matter what, you have to be a skeptic. By the way, we hope that of the people that also participate in our community or subscribe and take our products. And so I think no matter what, you have to be a skeptic, and you have to ask a lot of questions if you're putting something like in your body. Yes, it's true that probiotics are not regulated in the US the way they are in the EU. Like, as an example, you can't even use the word probiotic in the EU for an over-the-counter for just a consumer probiotic. It has a very stringent scientific definition that we adhere to very closely. Our chief scientist actually chaired the panel for the UN in 2001 that actually authored that definition, and we wrote a paper about it last year. There's definitely a lack of adherence to it. But, you know, the truth is, and you see this across the board with almost everything, which is, you know, I can tell you all the reasons that I think something doesn't qualify for a probiotic under the scientific definition. I can explain everything from fermentation to manufacturing to the dosage that was done in the clinical study versus the dosage that's sold on the shelf. I can tell you the tricks that other companies use on the labels, and we can go through all of that. But at the end of the day, I think one of the most meaningful and important things that people need to listen to is what works for them. And I think that there's other cues from companies that can tell you whether or not it's a company that you should try something from. I think anything that's really sensational or hyperbolic or makes really big promises, like, I think in general, I have skepticism of. But at the same time, like, you know, the body is incredibly complex. People who really suffer will try anything. And sometimes something that you wouldn't expect, or they think that, like, they'll make a big dietary change, but they'll also, for example, start something at that same time, like some sort of probiotic. And maybe we can show that that probiotic literally doesn't survive the GI system. And actually, we don't even know what species it is. It just says, or so we don't know the strain it is. We just know the species, and the label's really misleading. But what in human behavior, like, someone doesn't realize that they started eating a lot more plants at the same time. And then they say, well, this probiotic saved my life or changed my health. And so, you know, I think that these things, A, sometimes science doesn't know everything. B, I think human behavior is just as complex sometimes around taking care of ourselves and what we want to believe is working than sometimes the most simple changes. And when you're really desperate, and I have a lot of empathy for people who have all kinds of GI or autoimmune conditions, you try a lot of things often at the same time because you just want to fix it. And what that does often is really help in some ways, but what it doesn't do, like you would do in like a scientific clinical trial, is you can't isolate what the thing was that actually helped. Or you don't know that in what combination of things you're doing actually helped. And so, you know, yes, there's a very scientific answer, which is, I wish we spend our lives bringing like efficacy and precision and education to this category. We do so much science and human clinical work and testing, and we believe greatly in our product. And I think people who take it, who have had extraordinary experiences, like, I think that speaks for itself. But at the same time, it's complicated. Like, I know it's not the best answer on a podcast, and sometimes I'm the worst salesperson, because the truth is like what works for every human. It doesn't mean that probiotics should be personalized. That is not what I'm saying at all. And actually, that's not, I believe, where the science is or where it's going. But it's complicated, and I think people do try different things, and then they work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The strains and species. What's important to know about that?
Yeah. Mm. So if anyone remembers back to like 6th or 7th grade bio, you know, the species, it's like, if you don't know the strain, it's like having a dog and not knowing that you have a lab or a poodle. That's how different strains can be. And different strains of the same species have been demonstrated in human clinical work to literally have like the opposite effect in the human body. So what a lot of companies do is that they just say the species because they don't, currently the regulation doesn't require the strain itself. And so it literally is like having a dog and not knowing which one you're putting in. And I'd say if you're putting bacteria in your body, there probably should be some specificity to it.
And just on the regulation piece, like at Seed, what is really important as it relates to regulations and efficacy?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the regulatory, the way that we think about this is that there's a very stringent scientific definition of probiotics. We adhere more, while we use the term probiotic and symbiotic and prebiotic, we adhere to more of the EU regulatory, just in terms of the burden of efficacy for each strain that, and the we preserve the dosage and the fermentation conditions and the pH and the media that the strains are produced in. And so what that means is that we're preserving wherever possible all of the conditions under which the strains were studied in the human body in clinical work that's been published and peer reviewed. So that's really important because, you know, it's kind of like, I always say the best way to understand it is like saying like, okay, 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C does X. And then you go to the shelf and you're buying like some drink that says includes vitamin C to do Y. And then you look at the label and there's like some tiny, small, minimal percentage of that vitamin C ingredient or whatever the source of it was, but they're claiming what's been studied and what's been shown from vitamin C supplementation in like the human body. And so it's incredibly misleading. You know, it's like it's like probiotic tortilla chips or any of these things. It's like the idea that you just throw bacteria in and that it would then have a probiotic effect in the body is already like hard to kind of wrap your head around. But then like, I think in the people, the companies that are using some of these strains, I think then the question is, well, what if you're saying the species, what's the strain? And if you're using a specific strain and you're making a claim, what are the conditions under which that strain was studied? And is that what I'm taking? And I think that those are just, The hard thing about what I'm saying is that it's very hard to find out. I think that's a big challenge with the category in general.
Yeah. I've always wondered too, like with the differences between why are some refrigerated and some not? Why do people do that?
Well, some are administered in beverages or like a dairy beverage. So those probably do need some level of refrigeration. What the survivability is of those and the efficacy in that format, I don't have that data, and it's been hard for us to get. Some of them, I think some of them may, I mean, look, bacteria are incredibly sensitive to heat. Heat, light, and moisture are like not good for bacteria. So certainly not going to help in terms of being able to at least take a chance that you might be able to keep more alive. I think for companies that don't have like a stabilization or delivery technology, I think it's a good insurance policy to like, although the cold storage kind of breaks along the way, right? Because it's going to be delivered, or if it's e-commerce, like, you know, it's very rare that you can kind of keep it at that same temperature throughout every past part of like getting it from manufacturer to a human. So I think that obviously there's probably some variability in how the product actually is exposed to temperature during that time. But I think it's just an insurance policy. I think it also, what it did early on in probiotics was make people believe that if it was refrigerated, it was somehow quote unquote fresher or better. And I think that's kind of where it came from. But I think it put the burden onto the consumer to figure out how to give those microbes the best chance of staying alive, basically.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. I've always wanted, I'm like, okay, what? Cause I know with you guys, that's not, but then I felt like I've never taken any of that worse. I didn't really even know the difference, but I think the part about
keeping it consistently cool would be like impossible, you know, for anything. So
yeah. I think you have to, I mean, we have like, for example, the technology that we developed, we have like 10 day stability and survivability at like 100 degree Fahrenheit heat for like the entire day for 10 days. So that would have to mean like it would get stuck on a FedEx truck in Arizona in the middle of the summer. And we could still guarantee like that, those numbers for our product. I think it also has to, yeah. I mean, if you don't have a deliver, like a technology, I think it's a bit challenging. And also like, you know, this gets thrown around a lot, as a way to think about it too, which is that, you know, if they kind of can't survive the ambient temperature of a store, might be challenging in the 98.4 to 0.8 degrees of your body.
Yeah, so true. On my list of the most comforting things is cereal. Cereal brings up so much for me. It's my favorite thing to have for breakfast. It's crunchy, it is delicious, and as an adult, I can't be having the cereals that I used to. So when I found Magic Spoon, I was like, how are my dreams coming true? So basically, Magic Spoon has cut down on the carbs, sugar, and just unhealthy ingredients and created a cereal that is super good for you and delicious. It has 11 grams of protein and only 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. This is keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. I am currently loving the Frosted Magic Spoon flavor. It's unbelievable. A little oat milk and I am good to freaking go. They also have incredible other flavors like fruity, blueberry, cocoa. Y'all, you gotta try it. They taste amazing. I have to hide these from people that come into my house because they usually find it and eat it. And I'm not willing to share. Really excited to introduce Magic Spoon to Almost 30 Nation. Of course, we have a promo code ALMOST30 for free shipping. So go to magicspoon.com/almost30. That's magicspoon.com/almost30. And use the code ALMOST30 at checkout to get free shipping on a variety pack. You'll get, some of my favorites. Enjoy it. 100% happiness guaranteed. One size fits all cannot apply to your beauty routine. You know, we have all unique needs, especially when it comes to like hair and skin. And so when I found Function and Beauty, I was like, yes, yes, yes. I loved that it was personalized. I also love that they use clean ingredients and are cruelty-free. Function of Beauty makes personalized shampoos and conditioners that are formulated just for you. And now they have body wash and lotions as well, which are tailored to your skin level, skin moisture level, and other preferences. So it's really, really cool. You take a short quiz and they just make a custom formulation for you. You can also customize the container in which it comes in, which is awesome. But again, they always use clean ingredients, are cruelty-free, and I just love it so much. And it works. I guess that's the most important part. It truly, truly works. I have kind of fine hair, and so this formulation actually makes my hair a little bit more voluminous, not as weighed down by any, like, you know, that oily feeling, and it really works. I love it so much. Go to functionofbeauty.com/almost30 to take your 4-part hair quiz and save 20% on your first order. That's functionofbeauty.com/almost30 for 20% off, and to let them know that you heard about it from Almost 30. That's functionofbeauty.com/almost30.
Yeah, I was thinking, you saying that they're affected by light as well. This is just a small detail, but like in your packaging, it is that dark green container. Yeah. So that's all intentional.
Yeah, we're actually moving to an even more opaque one as well. But yeah, that's an important piece of it.
And just knowing the brand, there's also just an awareness and thoughtfulness and reverence for like the planet as well. So we're talking about like that inner ecosystem. And then in what ways is the way you do your symbiotic and just business in general, thinking about the planet at large?
Yes. I mean, we always say like health, somewhere along the way, humans decided that their health was more important than our home. and which I think is like kind of created an interesting divide and a lot of hypocrisy in like our behavior, right? Of the things that we say we care about. You know, running a sustainable business is defining sustainability for your business is, and for your company and the way you show up in the world is really challenging. It's, you know, everything, it plays out, I think, in probably every single touch point of the way that you show up for your team, the way you recruit, the way you show up for the planet. And I think like people sometimes think, oh, like make it recyclable, make it use something so that like with a stamp on it or certification, and then all of a sudden like you're a sustainable company. And yes, we are incredibly committed to new biomaterials. We actually, by the time this comes out, we're like, I think, second company in the world to create an algae corrugate box, which means we use algae paper for our box. We had our mycelium packaging, which I think you guys mentioned, but we've actually even found a new material that's even more sustainable. As much as I love mycelium, it was heavy and expensive. So I think
mycelium is mushroom, just for everyone listening to it. Yes, it's mushrooms. Yes, yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that we started off because you can grow that packaging in trays actually, which is really fascinating. And so we scour the world for new materials and ways of thinking about moving away from single use plastics where possible, thinking about compostability and thinking about, and also just, you know, look, I think one of the things that while we are not as big as like, you know, a Walmart of the world or some of the companies that actually, if they made a change, you could actually move the needle. You see this stuff, it's like fashion, right? Like it starts on the runway and then it ends up in fast fashion. And so like you have to, these things start to guide consumers towards purchasing behaviors that they then start to expect and look for. And it's the little companies, like a lot of the reasons bigger companies don't use it is because a lot of those companies that are pursuing new materials are so small and new that they can't hit the cogs or hit the numbers that like a big company would need. But what little companies can do like us is we can be the first experimenters. We can be the first ones that also allow those companies to figure out how to scale themselves so that when Walmart knocks on their door, when one of these big companies knock on their door, they've been able to get to a place that they've worked out some of the kinks with companies like ours that can be more high touch and a little bit more agile. And so when we think about sustainability, you know, it's not always, oh, just get the recyclable, compostable new thing and like throw it in your supply chain. But we also think about how we can support other companies that are trying to move the needle forward, that if they can reach scale, actually could make even more impact than we could. So I think that's like just one example of some of the sustainable ways I think we certainly think. And then I think, and we're working on like a really interesting, I think, approach to carbon calculations and analysis and carbon negative pathways for us, but we're making it accessible for any company that wants to do it and follow the playbook. So we're going to launch something in that world early next year. So a lot of it is like, you know, we open source all our packaging sources on our website. And I think we just feel like if more companies can benefit from the hours of and months and years of work that we do, I think, to be honest, I think that's where like the better change will come from and ripple out. More so than us just like patting ourselves on the back for awesome packaging. That makes sense.
Yes. That's admirable. So dope.
Also too, I mean, I think we talked about this before, but last time was like about Seed University, how you guys work mm-hmm. with influencers. Like yeah. There's just so many aspects of what you guys do that's so forward thinking and that's so progressive mm-hmm. and it's just so smart. You know, it's mm-hmm. so cool to see someone like you running your own company and being able to execute upon ideas that you probably wish you mm-hmm. saw in the world previously.
Yeah.
Yes. Seed University, you know, for everyone listening, is their influencer program where they educate mm-hmm. influencers on the product so that they can speak to it from an educated perspective.
Yeah, not just the product. We actually I think the product's like one small chapter, and then everything else is just like microbiome and microbes, and actually more about like some of the environmental work that we do. And I think, as I said, sometimes we're really bad salespeople because we could probably make a lot more money not putting all that friction in the process. As you can imagine, we have thousands of people in the queue on like something like ShareASale, but we just admit the people who are willing to learn because, and we create that friction and put education into the process because our real belief, and this goes back to sustainability. We launched the program with the hashtags, hashtag ad, hashtag accountable. And I think everyone who posts for us, they sign a year, they recommit to this kind of accountability every year through a manifesto they have to actually sign and they have to use those hashtags and they have to use them first. And I think that that's again, like where you get to more sustainable systems in this case with better information and transparency for consumers or people wanting to make decisions for their health. I think that's where, you know, that's to us, like where we can be the most resilient, right? As a brand and a company, which is do the things you wish you wish as a human, you wished other people who are putting something in your body, like you wish that's how they showed up in the world. And so we really think that education and accountability are all part of sustainability. And we, as we know, so much health information and misinformation gets propagated in the name of commerce. And so I think we just try and figure out like all the ways that we can just say, hey, you could actually maybe make more money because people are dying for transparency and wanting to feel a little bit more educated. And they don't want to just be told something and not know if it's true and not know if there's, if you yourself who are promoting it, did any work to really figure out, like, is this something that I should put my name and my community to? And I think we think like if you just took that and thought about it across all the things we do, I think that's just how we try and show up in the world. And it's working particularly for that program. I think people feel really grateful that someone took the time to just say like, hey, it's not just about grabbing your links and like, here's a code and get to work. Like it's not, you know, we'll send you a check. I think, I don't know if anyone wants to build long-term relationships that way.
Admirable.
It's amazing. It's revolutionary, to be honest. And I think a lot of other, it's just cool. Exactly. Like you said too, the analogy about runway fashion to fast fashion really, really struck me. And I really think that's the truth. And educating the consumers enough or providing like the opportunity for people to get educated on it and then demanding it or requesting it from, you know, everyone is really the goal. So we love you guys and we just love what you're doing. Like having a 360 brand like that, that's conscious about sustainability, efficacy, the environment, health is just so profound. So thank you for what you do for sure. Yeah.
Thank you for seeing it. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Truly. Well, I'm excited to share this. I think it's super timely. Mm-hmm. And for anyone that does not know about Seed, where can they find more information about just education and about the product? Yeah.
So it's really easy. We're seed.com. And on Instagram, we're at Seed.
Cute.
Easy peasy.
Easier.
And we have a 20% discount code. So use the code almost30seed.com. But yeah, it's been incredible and it's really changed. I mean,
skin.
Yeah, skin, energy, immunity, obviously. But even as I think entrepreneurship, just to kind of like loop that into, and I'm sure you can relate where you really have to up your game and how you take care of yourself. And the microbiome is a part of us that maybe we don't think about initially because it's not something we can necessarily see, but it's something that affects obviously everything. So yes. It's been really integral to our routine to incorporate the symbiotic.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. I'm glad you guys have had a great experience. I always say like, once you really like understand the microbiome, it's like seeing the matrix, like you can never unsee it.
100%. Yeah.
Just the truth.
Even talking about it, I'm like, I'm going to get some sweet green for lunch. I'm going to feed the rainforest. thank you so much. This was so much fun. Tell the team we said hi. And
we definitely will. Yes. Thank you guys. We love you guys. And I was really looking forward to this. I love meeting you. I wish it was microbes to microbes, but you know, there's a pandemic.
This whole, I want to take a picture of like your whole setup.
I know, it's stunning, amazing.
Like,
go for it.
Like, so stylish. It's just beautiful.
Truly.
I'm sorry, my light didn't work, but I can see you guys perfectly.
Yeah, like it was not okay. So glow.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's my microbiome.
All right.
Well, sorry, honey.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
We'll see
Thank
you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much, Aura. That was incredible. Thank you so much to Seed. If this episode resonated with you, send it to a friend who needs more information about immunity and health during these times. And if you want to try Seed, you can use code ALMOST30 for 20% off your first month.
First month of that Daily Symbiotic. Thank you all for listening. We appreciate you. You can find out more about Almost 30 at almost30.com. Visit our shop, shopalmost30.com for courses and downloadables and workboxes. Wow, we should do workboxes.
Yes, that's next.
To support you in your evolution. We love you. We'll see you next time.
We'll see you soon.